Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Guiner, the difference in the game with his RBI single in the first inning. As he drills one high and deep to left field, all the way back and gone. Guiner Diaz, a two-run home run with two outs in the sixth. And the Astros now up 4-1.
Oh, out here with the folks. I need me a Yonder bomb, and I got it.
Got him. Slider. Slider ends the game. Brian Abreu pumps his chest on his first save of the year. And the Astros take 2 out of 3 against the Red Sox, winning 4-1 tonight. That is a good series win against a team that swept you on the previous road trip.
There you go. Brian Abreu's first save of the year. That's a little surprising. Usually guys in that bullpen, you know, Hader's resting, you get a save by accident a few times. But I think Abreu and Hader are so paired together in that 8-9 thing that their rest probably coincides
save,
as well.
Save stats seem to be the flukiest of stats. There was always some kind of – remember the who they faced in the last series that was the rookie of the year in the COVID year who didn't have any saves on that season. Last night was fun for a lot of ways. Alex Cora got ejected during a commercial break because he was arguing that Hunter Brown was I don't even want to explain it because I'll screw it up.
Alex Cora didn't know the rule.
Alex Cora didn't know the rule.
Yeah, it was balk
notifying related. whether you're going from
a
the
full
lineup. Or,
yeah.
So regardless, Alex Cora gets ejected for incorrectly arguing that Hunter Brown is breaking the rules. And they were complaining about the whole damn game. Yep. Hunter Brown's up there dealing. And, classic Hunter Brown. Angry at himself because he walks a couple guys early on. And he's battling the Red Sox dugout at the same time. Mm-hmm. That one just felt good. That one just felt good last night.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
And I've always liked Alex Cora. And now I hate him with the fire of a thousand suns.
Yeah, good. Yeah. You got to turn that on, man. Well, and no Correa last night in the lineup. Yeah. Boy, when that lineup came out, I mean, because it's been one thing after another with the Astros. We know all the injuries in the rotation. Now you got Josh Hader. Yordan Alvarez has been out for most of the year. You know, we missed Jeremy Pena for about 6 weeks. All these things. I don't need to list them, even though I just did. But when the lineup comes out yesterday and there's no Correa, I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding? Like, something's up. And it turns out it was just a planned day off for him.
Yeah.
He played all 10 games since he's been here, which I'm fine with them giving him a planned day off.
But
cool with that.
But you're dealing with, at the same time, finding out that Josh Hader is seeking a
second opinion. Yeah.
So, real quick, we should have explained the first time we played that clip of Blum and the Yiner home run is that they were out in the Crawford boxes last night.
That's right. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's got to be fun to kind of change things up a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
We're doing the show right here in the broadcast booth at NRG Stadium, It's kind of spices things up, you know?
Well, it's empty, but they're, you know, it looks like they're testing out all the lights and everything. So
yeah.
At 8:06 a.m., it's completely lit up. It's kind
of
cool.
They're doing the paint of the end zones. The north end zone is already painted. It's got the dark blue with the red letters says Houston. It's got the Bull logo, and it's got the new kind of semi-gothic H logo.
Yeah.
They're in the process of painting the other end zone. Have you ever watched that process before?
Yeah.
This is some wild stuff going on out here.
I talked to the grounds crew last year during training camp, and I can't remember. One of the guys was telling me how many miles he walks in a day when they have to paint all the lines and everything. It was a lot. It was a lot of miles to be walking around in. I don't care what time of day it is during in August.
You're talking outdoors across the street.
Yeah.
Oh my God! And it's three fields.
Yeah. So they got the stencils out for the one end zone.
Yep.
Which is still all green.
Stencils.
Like,
that's the word I was looking for.
Looks like
for.
The unifying message that the NFL is trying to use this year. One of them in the end zone that somehow always inevitably people find a way to get angry about.
Yeah.
It says it takes all
of
us.
Takes all of us.
Do
yeah.
with that what you will.
Turn
that into a political statement or something. But somehow that's going to get. Somehow people are going to be angry about. This thing that says it takes all
that's
of
right.
us.
That's right. Your turn, text page. Let's do this. It takes all of us. It takes all of us. Do something with that. Oh my God. All right. So the Astros get their win last night over the Boston Red Sox and Alex Bregman. Now day off, and you got the Orioles this weekend. You got to take advantage of this opportunity, man. The Orioles are a bad team that did you a favor last night.
That's right.
By beating the Mariners.
I feel
thank them by sweeping them this weekend.
Without Correa out there last night, it gave me time to sit and reflect on Carlos Correa.
Yeah.
And everything that it means to this team. Where I've been very hesitant to just dive full bore into the nostalgia and the sentimental aspect
sure.
of it, because that's when you get in trouble, especially in pro sports. You get too sentimental, and typically it rarely ends well. And yet with Correa, there's some real substantial parts to this trading for Correa that make a lot of sense just strictly from a baseball standpoint, and it's that it's a lot less physically taxing playing third base than it is playing shortstop.
Yep.
And that he said that after, you know, he has felt physically better after these games and after playing on turf especially than he has at all in the last few years while playing shortstop. And that there's going to be a little bit of an adjustment for him. He had a couple nights ago, he had that error and one mishandled ball. But I have no doubt that he's going to end up being just fine as a third baseman.
Yeah.
As a third baseman. But also that offensively, so far, he's been really good.
He's been good.
It's a very small sample size.
Yeah.
But typically, guys get traded for, and more times than not, it feels like it takes a while for them to Christian Walker their way into a new circumstance.
Right.
Correa, it's been the exact opposite.
Yeah.
And obviously, he's played plenty of games in that ballpark and on this team. I think you're going to get the very best version of Alex Correa that you've seen in the last couple years.
How do you think it feels to be Isak Paredes right now? I mean, Isak Paredes is out of sight, out of mind, completely forgotten, and everybody is loving on the guy that they brought in to replace you after you put together a good enough body of work in 4 months to make the AL All-Star team.
If they hadn't traded for Correa, does Paredes just miss the rest of the season and get the surgery instead of trying to get the PRP injections?
That's a good point. Yeah. For those who don't know, he's doing PRP instead of the surgery. Would have for sure ended his season. He's doing PRP right now with injections, with the hope of maybe coming back this year. We'll see.
I think if I'm looking at it, I don't think it's as much of a selfish move per se, or him feeling threatened because they brought Carlos Correa in. It might be that he reads the writing on the wall. You look at the Astros infield now, and they got good defensive players all over the place.
Yeah.
Second and third.
They got literally gold glovers at all four positions.
And I think, the cynical side of me might say, well, he doesn't want to play second base, so he just wants to get back and, try to. I think the more realistic thing might be he figures, all right, there's a good chance I get traded next year or
maybe
in the offseason, and this might be. And who knows who I get traded to.
Yeah.
And this is a shot that for a team that, you know, is a proven playoff. Whatever they look like in the regular season, they overperform in the playoffs.
Yeah.
These last couple of years, making the ALCS 2 years ago, on paper, that
should
team
not have happened.
They shouldn't have made the ALCS a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But there's their ability to thrive in the playoffs, he might just figure, man, this might be my – who knows? This might be one of the few chances I have in my career to really do something in the postseason.
Still hasn't gotten paid yet. You know, he's still in these arbitration years. And maybe the guy's just a competitor, too. Maybe he's like, I just want to play baseball. I want to get back
to my guys. It's a classic.
I like it either way. I applaud it.
Yeah, I applaud 100%. It. And yet at the same time, there's almost a parental vibe where you're like, I love that you're showing this moxie, but the smart thing to do here might be to just go ahead and get the surgery and have as much time as possible to recover.
Text message. I can't stand Bregman. I feel like he's the next Jim Edmonds Astros killer. He had the home run in that first game, and everybody killed them in the second game. I don't know that I get the sense he's an Astro killer yet.
Yeah, plus be careful. He might end up back here next year.
That's true.
At this point, you could tell me that Bregman and Springer are going to be on the team next year. I'm like, it's okay. I could see it happening
You know what happened? I can't believe I haven't told you about this. What happened last night that was funny while I was drafting fantasy players and watching the Astros game out of the corner of my eye? I got hit with a clown emoji by Chandler Rome.
Oh! Chandler gave you the clown emoji.
Whoa. I know. I forgot to tell you about that. Yeah.
Regarding what?
Okay, I'm going to read you the text string. So Chandler tweets, I really have missed watching Alex Bregman make that charging barehanded play.
Yeah.
To which a person on Twitter named Jacob replies to Chandler.
Yeah.
Says, at Sean Pendergast, going to flip the F out on this one. Chandler replies with a question mark. Jacob posts a screen grab of my tweet with my rules of cheering Alex Bregman the other day.
Yeah.
And for those who missed it, I tweeted this after the game on Monday, Bregman's first game back. Amy and I were at the game.
Yeah.
We took part in the standing ovation during the tribute video. Minutes later, literally 5 minutes later, Alex Bregman's up at the plate, and there's people, a few, sparsely, standing again and cheering him. And my take on it was, we just stood up 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
You don't get two standing ovations in a five-minute span.
Yeah.
So I tweeted this. Bregman got a standing ovation during this tribute video, pregame, acceptable. Some fans stood again during his first at-bat. I should have said 5 minutes later, but I just said during his first at-bat. Unacceptable.
Yeah.
Many fans booed during his second and third at-bat. Acceptable.
Yeah.
Once that tribute, this is me talking, once that tribute video is over, he's the enemy. If you stood and cheered in his first at-bat, you're a putz.
Yeah.
So,
and I disagree with that take.
You disagree. Yeah. A lot of people did. And I'm fine with that, obviously.
Right.
Or I wouldn't have tweeted it. But I think Jacob's insinuation was that I'm implying that Chandler, for giving Bregman props on his barehanded play, I'm implying Chandler is a putz. Chandler replies to the screen grab of my tweet with a clown emoji.
Oh, boy, he's calling you a clown.
Call
right
me a clown,
there. Boy.
Yeah, call
he
me
went
a clown.
Ad hominem on you.
He
I feel
did.
Like that's beneath Chandler.
He did.
Chandler is a very, very good writer. We compliment Chandler a lot on this show, which I think Chandler
almost
might
daily. I look forward to his work every day.
We've cited his article about Carlos Correa.
You cited it an hour ago.
Twice this show.
Yes.
And I've often said that, hey, that's probably your best bang for your buck as somebody who enjoys reading sports writing, is in a subscription to The Athletic. And yet, Chandler, I think, is Chandler is a person who is immune to compliments. He's immune to a lot of things in terms of the way.
Pretty sure he hates us.
In the way normal people operate. Yeah, we're almost positive that Chandler Rome hates us.
Yeah, pretty sure.
Chandler
he hates
did
us.
That thing when Adam Spillane was let go. Chandler did that thing where he wanted to say something nice about Adam Spillane, but he couldn't do it without insulting a bunch of other people.
All the radio hosts,
it's a smart tactic because it's like I wanted to reply to his tweet, but I'm like, but that's kind of a BS move by me, a normal human being.
Yeah,
I don't want to throw shade on Adam or something, or bring it. I was upset that Adam isn't with the station
anymore. Of
course,
he's good at his job.
Yeah. So I just kind of let it go. But Chandler's an interesting dude.
So I
but he's an awesome writer, and we cite him all the time.
Oh no, I look forward to
stuff. I pay his salary.
He is one of the elements that makes subscribing to The Athletic, exorbitant as the price may be, very much worth it. I am happily scratch that check every year.
And then we say all that despite being pretty sure that he hates us.
Oh, I think he definitely hates us. I think for sure he hates me.
It's fun having him hate us, though.
Oh, I enjoy it.
He's a guy that I think things gnaw at him.
Yeah.
You know, like he'll never be happy. Like, you know, he's just wired that way. He's just never going to be happy.
So
he's an awesome writer.
So I replied to both Jacob and Chandler.
Oh, good, good.
Okay, my reply to Jacob's tweet that I am going to flip the F out that Chandler actually likes something about Alex Bregman.
Yeah.
I said, no, I'm good. I'm sure Chandler wasn't giving him a standing ovation either. And even so, I think Chandler does a good job.
Yeah.
Okay, I replied to Chandler's clown emoji I don't even need to look it up. I just, all caps, Totally. Which is true. I am
Chandler,
a bit of a clown.
Chandler didn't participate in
that. No, not yet. He might not be up yet, though. Like a lot of these beat writers, they have these late nights that they.
Well, Chandler's fond of pointing out who is where at what time or anything. And, talk radio guys don't tend to go to press conferences or anything, which is interesting because it's like, okay, because you get paid to go to press conferences. We tend to be up at 3:30 a.m. and have a different time schedule.
Let me give a little inside baseball on that. Yeah. One, okay, and this isn't necessarily directed at Chandler.
Yeah,
but if I had to guess, that most beat writers that go to all the press conferences and get priority to ask the questions, that I have zero problem with. I go to a lot of press conferences, and I just lay back for this very reason.
Yeah,
is that if we were to go there and start asking the questions, a lot of them get angry that you're hey, we've got articles to write.
Yes.
I'm doing a column on so-and-so. Yeah. Why is this interloper coming in here and asking questions of such-and-such manager or coach?
Yeah, you and I always wait till the end of the press conference to ask our questions.
Yeah. Make sure everybody's good. That would be my thing, is that I think that a majority of the people who are like, boy, these radio hosts don't go to press conferences, would get very bent out of shape if we started usurping some of the real estate at those press conferences.
Well, that's the problem, Dale, too. Listen, I know writing 500 words a day is a grueling chore, but we do tend to talk for 4 hours a day, which involves it's a lot of prep work for talking for 4 hours a day. Yeah.
We just chose violence. I like
Not really. Yeah. I stand by what I say. When I awoke this morning, I thought Chandler Rome was a guy who would never go ad hominem against what are you, a colleague or whatever?
I view myself as a colleague. I mean, we're all in that same ecosystem.
I don't know the words so good. I ain't no highfalutin writer, you see.
That's right.
I don't ride for the New York Times owned Athletic.
I thought the same thing when I awoke.
I awoke this morning, Chandler. There were 17 writers ahead of Chandler Rome in the power rankings of who I thought would go ad hominem against a colleague on Twitter.
I thought the same thing. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. So joint practice today. The Texans have joint practice with the Lions next week.
Yeah.
The Lions are practicing with the Dolphins today.
Yeah.
There is joint practice petty going on right now between the Lions and the Dolphins.
Right this moment?
The two in the last 24 hours that I think plays into the Texans joint practice next week. We'll get to that. We'll do that coming up next. Stay there.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
How much fireworks are you hoping to see out here at this joint practice? And by fireworks, I mean fisticuffs.
I took you literally for a minute. Yeah. I'm like, ooh.
That would be fun. During the day.
Well, yeah. In keeping consistent with my thoughts, which are that I am treating this preseason game, game Roman numerals 2, like it's the Super Bowl.
We're bringing the intensity in the pregame.
The first three series of this game, if the Texans choose to play their starters, is going to determine the trajectory of this team, not just for this season, but for the entirety of time.
That's how you know a game is super meaningful, when the phrase, if they choose to use their starters, is attached to it. That's how you know.
This is where things will get meted
out.
That's
how you know. If you're standing in line for that practice out there, that's how you know you're about to watch
history. It's still real to me, Sean. Yep. The CJ Stroud versus Bryce Young dynamic, it's still real to me. And it can be settled tomorrow. 2 days from today.
Yeah. And today at the joint practice.
52 hours from now.
So the Texans play, or they practice with the Panthers today. They play the Panthers on Saturday. Next week they go to Detroit and they joint, same thing, same agenda. Joint practice Thursday with the Lions, game on Saturday at noon, whole thing. The Lions this week are practicing with the Dolphins.
Yeah.
And we know the Dolphins, you know, if we're putting teams in the NFL in certain buckets, I would say the Dolphins are a team that had a lot of high hopes the last few years, had parlayed all that Tunsil draft capital into a bunch of players that we were all supposed to be gaga over. Yeah. And the fact of the matter is, it may just be that Mike McDaniel is meant to be an X's and O's dorky coordinator.
There are a lot of questions within the fan base down there in Miami about whether the team is too soft.
Yes.
And when your head coach seems like a fun and giggly GA at Yale, that it feels like that there might be something to do with the head coach.
This thing is undoubtedly on a downward trajectory, at least perception-wise in Miami right now. Yeah. Maybe they surprise us. Who knows? Jalen Ramsey wanted the hell out of there. I know that. And Tyreek Hill has, at various times, implied that he's wanted out of there. I don't know where he's at these days as far as him wanting to be there or not. They practice with the Lions, who we know is culture-wise probably the polar opposite of what we spent the last 45 seconds talking about.
Yeah.
Dan Campbell does the Oklahoma drill at practice. Dan Campbell is the opposite in every way, it seems like, of Mike McDaniel. And as a result, that culture in Detroit, in addition to them being a very talented football team, has catapulted them to a team that is on the short list of teams that NFL fans, not just in Detroit, but around the league, believe could win a Super Bowl this year. I think that's fair to say. Grant Stewart is a linebacker for the Detroit Lions, and he said this earlier this week about the Dolphins. I don't know if they're ready. I'm going to keep it a stack. Is that what, by the way, is that what we're saying now for keep it 100?
I guess so, stack? Like a stack of 100.
Ugh.
Yeah. You better adopt it, Sean.
I know. It just sounds
If you want to be a cringy guy that's trying like hell to resonate with the youth.
I'm going to keep it a stack. So we're done with a buck now? We're not keeping it a buck anymore? We're keeping it a stack now?
I completely missed that
You
one.
Missed that era? Yeah, they kept it a buck for a while, too.
I'm aging.
I'll suck.
So we're going to keep it a stack.
So I'm going to start over. I don't know if they're ready, they being the Dolphins. I'm going to keep it a stack. I played at other places and played against that team last year and joint practiced against that team twice when I was in Tampa. I don't know if they practice how we practice.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited to see our guys for sure, and I'm excited to get out there and do something against somebody else who doesn't know every in and out of what it is we're doing.
Yeah.
So the eyeball capturing.
This is the way that
I don't know if they practice how we practice is basically what they're saying. I don't know if they're the two things. I don't know if they're ready. I don't know if they practice how we practice.
See, that is the attitude I want. He's treating this preseason joint practice, Roman numeral 1, like it's the Super Bowl.
That's right.
I want the Texans to treat this preseason joint practice.
Yes.
It's like joint practice, Roman numeral 1 against the Panthers like it's the Super Bowl.
Yep. Yes. And the thing with the Texans, we're going to play Mike McDaniel's reaction here in just a second. The thing that intrigued me about this is, the Texans are
they're going
practicing against them next week. What does Grant Stewart have to say about the Texans?
Oh, you know? Yeah. I think
Let's get to that in a second. Let's play McDaniel real quick, and we'll put that on the back burner.
So McDaniel responds to this quote.
In classic McDaniel fashion. Yeah, here he is. He was asked about Grant Stewart's comments that seem to imply that the Dolphins practice a little bit soft.
Have any reaction to Grant Stewart essentially putting into question the practice habits of this team?
No, I don't. I mean, I literally does not affect me whatsoever. I hope we get the absolute best practice from Grant and everybody else between the whistles like that. And that makes us better. So, you know, I think there's a lot of noise, and I would file that into the noise category.
Okay.
Yeah.
The fact that he doesn't take exception to it is, I feel like, correlated to the culture of the Miami Dolphins.
This is the thing. You know, look, you don't want your head coach to be a guy that all of a sudden gets bent out of shape over a quote from another player.
Sniping with a backup linebacker or
but
something.
If you had to choose, there's McDaniel comes off a little bit there like a WWE wrestler that's constantly begging the referee for help or something.
Yeah.
Those are non-sanctioned
right.
gloves.
My foot was on the rope.
Right. Yeah. Can't we conduct ourselves like gentlemen?
Yeah. That's kind of exactly what I expected from Mike McDaniel.
But also, if he had, if he had tried to act like a hard ass, you would have called him out as a fraud.
I probably would have. You know me all too well.
Mike McDaniel is that he's in that class. He's in that category of guys who get a head coaching job because they have a lot of promise as offensive minds. And this is where I get, this is where I think sometimes owners do themselves in. It on paper or in theory, it makes perfect and total sense that yes, the ideal situation is that you have a head coach who's like Andy Reid.
Yeah.
And he's an awesome offensive coordinator, but he's also a good head football coach. And then you can have stability forever and ever and ever. Yeah. But I think sometimes people, and they've got their eyes set on that lofty prize so much that they forget that first and foremost, you got to hire a competent head football coach.
Yep.
And they're hiring offensive coordinators instead of hiring head football coaches. Mike McDaniel is the embodiment of a guy that just does not look, sound, or seem, or feel like an actual head football coach. He seems like an offensive whiz kid. And lo and behold, a few years down the line after you hire him, people are questioning your team's toughness.
This is the danger, too, of when you draft a quarterback and it's not draft one high. They drafted Tua with the fifth pick back in 2020. And it's not working, but it's not failing to the extent that you just flush the quarterback out.
Yeah.
I think Mike McDaniel was hired to repair Tua Tagovailoa.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't repair that guy to the point where he can carry you to, you know, to great success, and you're left with this whiteboard chalk nerd who doesn't really have head coaching qualities, the lack of development in Tua kind of caused that as well. If I had to guess, I would guess that was the priority in hiring Mike McDaniels. We use his fifth overall pick. Hell, we tanked for Tua back in the day. You know, we've got to make this thing work. And so you bring in an offensive coordinator that if he were just the offensive coordinator, would make it work. But the problem is he's got to do all the other CEO stuff. He's got to face the media three times a week and sound like a stoned junior in high school.
Yeah.
There's nothing presidential about Mike McDaniel. It's interesting. I mean, you and I talked to Colin Hanna.
I might go full Colin Coward on this one.
I think there's something to the
podium presence.
All he needs is a backwards visor.
But I'll take the backwards visor any day over a guy that just seems like he does. He seems like a stoned sixth-year senior in college.
Yes,
yeah.
And it's fun. You and I had this conversation with Colin Hanna on the air last week in our last day in West Virginia, and you asked Cal, do you watch the press? When you're looking at coaching candidates, and they looked at several for a 3-year period there, do you watch these press conferences? And he said, absolutely.
Yeah.
He said, how they handle themselves is part of the evaluation. They're the most front-facing person in the organization.
Hannah was like holding back a laugh and not wanting to say it, mm-hmm. but I think she was thinking about David Culley.
Yeah.
And they learned their
neither
lesson.
Neither confirmed nor denied.
About that, wow. I mean, Culley, in one of the iconic moments in Texans history, when asked, why did you choose this job, basically said,
That was 5 minutes into him being the Texans head coach.
What did I say about that? That'd be like asking if you're...
No, she has all the holes.
Why did you marry your wife? Because she has all the holes. I like it. Classic. That is a head football coach quote right there.
Classic Sethers.
You want Seth Payne up at the podium as your football coach.
Classic Sethers.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Payne and Pendergast. Hey, anytime we're talking
Stick
about...
Stick that in your inkwell and write about it, Chandler Rome.
And that's why you hate us. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Xavier Leggett, who will always be on the short list of things that if any content related to Xavier Leggett pops up, we will play it. What team were they practicing against when this happened? He got into a fight.
He got into a fight in the Browns game.
Oh, it was
he
the Browns.
He got ejected from the Browns game.
That was a game that happened.
Yes,
oh,
Xavier
okay.
Leggett. I sent you. Oh, you didn't watch it.
No,
Xavier Leggett got in a fight with Rayshon Jenkins in the Browns game. They both got ejected.
They got ejected.
So
that's
this
right.
This is Xavier Leggett discussing it afterwards.
Oh, man, it was just something that I shouldn't have did. And that ain't supposed to happen in a football game. So I feel like I owe the fans an apology.
Were you kind of in disbelief that it was even happening in the moment?
No, I wasn't in disbelief. I knew what was going on. But it ain't supposed to happen. He ain't say nothing. Okay. We ain't had no exchange of words. It was just, well, how?
Okay, yeah. two things.
I love him so much. Two things.
Do we play that cut every segment for the rest of the show?
And
two... How many first-round picks should Nick Caserio trade to get Xavier Leggett?
I want to hug him today. Oh. I love that kid, man.
Oh, my God.
So he's out there. He's obviously with the Panthers. Xavier Leggett and Tet McMillan is the first-round pick.
Yeah.
Is the other receiver. Yep. Those are probably the one and two receiver this year for the Panthers. Adam Thielen, the other. And not to mention Hunter Renfro is out there.
Yeah.
We could ask him some Deshaun Watson
From Clemson.
So Xavier Leggett, the best part about that was, man, you couldn't get a better image of just a delightful guy from the country, yet at the same time, badass as hell. Like, I'd be like, no, I wasn't surprised I was in this situation.
He was swinging, dude.
He does. He threw like a four-punch combo.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this is a guy. He's very. This is a guy who's got horses, so he spends a ton of time with his horses. But he's obviously worked a speed bag or two in the day. What? That's so funny. He's got horses.
He's got horses.
Saying he's got a lot of stuff on his plate. He finds time to look like Mike Tyson out there.
What am I supposed to? As soon as you said he's got horses,
my I was implying was he's got a lot of stuff that he does. You know, he's got time to breed horses, and he's got time to look like Mike Tyson back in 1990 and be an NFL football
player. I don't think he's just some guy that decided to get into horse racing or anything. I think he sounds like, as country as he is, that he probably grew up riding horses and everything. I think of like a cowboy. Like, yeah. Yeah, like, you know who else has horses and knows how to punch a guy cold?
You're thinking too much into this. I'm just saying he has a lot of stuff that he does. He spends a lot of time doing a lot of things. I'm impressed that he's got that good a punch combo, given how much time he spends becoming an NFL player
and
with all those horses.
I'll tell you what, man. Dude's from the rural South. It's like some of these guys, I watch them like kind of slap box and stuff in practice.
Oh,
you grow up in an environment where it's still old school, kind of back in the day when fist fights were more.
Solve things
like it used
fists.
To be, like fist fights at school and everything used to, before the zero tolerance policies and everything. Yeah. Kids grew up knowing how to really fight.
Yeah.
And in the country where you don't have to worry as much about guns and everything, I think guys still, I bet he knows how to use his fists. Mm. Yeah.
That guy's from the country that we just heard
Yeah.
Okay.
From Chicago.
Hadn't noticed. All right. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you. We're live at NRG Stadium. We're inside the broadcast booth, headed across the street after we're done here at 10 o'clock to go check out the Texans and the Dolphins in joint practice today.
Brandy said, driving right now, but I just wanted to stop being mean to Sean.
He wasn't being mean. That was funny.
He's got horses. She wanted to be sure. I think she wanted to be sure in case I read that text later that I knew what she was referencing.
As opposed to the other 10 times you're mean to me throughout the show? That's funny. That's hilarious. That's not. Hey, Brandy, it's all good. It's all good.
He's got horses. That's my new, is he on stilts?
He's on stilts? No, that wasn't nearly as dumb as he's on stilts. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. All right. Tom Brady was on Joel Klatt's podcast and talked about the things you need to do to be great at quarterback. Do we think C.J. Stroud has these things in him.
And also, I'm gonna tell Brandy what's up after this. Yeah, tell me how to do my job.
That's right. No,
are you Chandler Rome?
Be meaner to her than you are to me. Chandler Rome. All right, we'll talk about that coming up next.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, Tom Brady was on Joel Klatt's podcast. Joel Klatt, former Colorado quarterback, who's now the lead college football analyst for Fox. And Tom Brady had this to say. The things that were just normal for him to do,
yeah,
common sense for Brady to do in becoming the great quarterback that he is. Does C.J. Stroud have these things in him?
So I just don't think as a quarterback you go and you punch the clock. I did my job. You know, I threw for 40 touchdowns. Why are we not winning?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing in the offseason to help your defense? What are you doing to push the personnel department to get people doing the right thing? Are you involved in game planning? I mean, I used to do game plans.
Sure.
I used to walk in there and say, these are the things we're doing. Okay, I used to do my own walkthroughs. I used to go, all right, guys, I don't give a if coaches want to come. We're doing our walkthrough.
Right.
We're going to come up with our own signals because this is what I need to be on the field to be successful.
Okay.
This is really interesting. For one, I've enjoyed it. Brady's been kind of a grumpy old man since he retired.
Yes.
He does. He talks a lot about the kids these days and the way they operate and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple things. For one, I think sometimes Brady frames it almost as quarterbacks these days don't do the things that I did, where I don't think he realizes, like, no, you were above and beyond compared to your peers as well. You don't have to.
Yeah,
make
how
it
many
a,
people were doing
right,
any of these
you don't
things?
Have to, you don't have to make it a generational thing.
Yeah.
But the other thing there, too, is everything that he said right there, it's all about whether you're actually winning or whether you're losing. Because in a different context, a quarterback, think about how quickly you could spin a quarterback pushing the personnel people to get the people that you want.
I jotted down the four things.
Yeah.
Okay, the first one he mentioned was helping the defense in the offseason.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
that's a normal thing.
Well, I think this team operates that way.
I do too. I think the three that really jumped out there, pushing the personnel department
right.
to do things, game planning, like walking in and saying, this is going to be the game plan,
yeah, yeah.
and then doing your own walkthroughs, like, hey, guys,
right.
especially in the way he framed it, doing your own walkthroughs, I think, is cool. It's extra work you're doing. The way he framed it where he said, I don't care what the coaches want us to be walking through. We're going to come up with our own signals.
This is what we need to do, right.
We're going to come up with our own signals,
he
said.
That's been used against Aaron Rodgers and his hand signals and everything.
That whole article about it.
Yeah, so a lot of it just flat out comes down to...
Are you winning rings?
The other thing with Tom Brady, too, is...
Do you have six rings?
Now, doing your own walkthroughs, like Brady was doing that with the backup wide receivers when he was a rookie. He was going in and coming in on the off day and working with guys and everything.
Yeah.
Everything that he said right there, I think that CJ, as well as many other quarterbacks in the league, are kind of wired that way. I don't think that everything that Tom Brady described right there is the way that Tom Brady was operating in his second or third year in the NFL.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the personnel side of everything, too, or telling the coaches, no, this is what my game plan is going to be, that's something I'm guessing he transitioned into. We should talk to – well, we've talked to Caserio about this, about how Tom Brady in year 12 was a much different guy than Tom Brady when he won his first Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of what he says there, 100% I agree with, but there's also a matter of – establishing yourself and then especially actually knowing what you're talking about.
Yeah.
When it comes time to, you know, wanting to put your own tweaks into the offense and everything, the difference between Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers is that Tom Brady did all the extra stuff that made Tom Brady qualified to do that.
Sure.
Where with Brady, like with Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy, it almost seemed like Aaron Rodgers is going to do what he wanted to do, and it but not necessarily with the same amount of backbreaking work behind it.
Yep.
So that's, you know, from the outside looking in based on anonymous reports and everything. So it's, I 100% agree with him, but I also think sometimes Hall of Famers don't quite understand how special they are. Like, they don't understand necessarily that the way they operated wasn't the normal. It might not be the normal thing way guys operate now, but it also wasn't the normal way guys operated then.
Yeah. Of the three things that we just listed, because the helping the defense part is whatever.
Well, that's part of it. D'Amico's instilled that culture in these guys. D'Amico was like that as a player, really swapping notes with the other side of the ball to really learn and help each other and also help yourself by learning about the other
side
of the ball.
That's why there's zero polarizing about that. Yeah. Of the other three things, pushing the personnel department, walking in and saying, here's the game plan, guys, or conducting your own walkthroughs to the extent that you now have your own set of signals for each other.
We're
that's
not doing
independent
what,
of the coach.
And saying we're not doing what the coaches say we're doing.
What's the one you most need to be Tom Brady in order to pull off?
I think the last part, like being dismissive of the coaches themselves.
Yeah,
you got to be Tom Brady.
Pushing the
that.
Personnel department can be something like you run into them in the hallway and you're just talking about trade. Or personnel departments, once you get to be the level of player Brady, they might consult with Brady about
Right. Things. That's where I wonder, too.
He might be more collaborative.
You know, and he's speaking extemporaneously there. Maybe pushing might not have been the best word, but like working with the personnel department to say, this is the kind of guy I need and what I like. And, you know, we need this on the team to help the offense be better. I think I 100% think all of that is awesome as long as you got the right guy doing it. If Zach Wilson's doing all that crap, no, I don't want Zach Wilson doing that crap. But it's also something you have to grow into. And I think that CJ, now it's interesting because CJ, it's almost, you get a sense sometimes from the veteran players talking about CJ, like it's like CJ almost doesn't understand like how impressive he is in some regards. And where CJ tries to be, you know, respectful and be a guy that understands that he's a younger guy, where some of the veterans would say, like, no, man, you can be that guy right now in terms of being the hard-handed ruler or whatever it might be. We've seen that the last couple of years. CJ really, like, he gets on guys when practice isn't going well.
Yeah.
He'll call them up in a huddle when things aren't going well. I don't have any worries about that at all. But I kind of respect that he also understands there's a dynamic of the real credibility as a quarterback leader comes when you accomplish great things.
Yes.
And it's not an either or type of situation. You kind of got to grow into that role.
Yep. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Hey, Dan Orlovsky put out his top 10 quarterbacks in each of the categories. Mm-hmm. He does this every year. Arm strength, ball placement, mechanics, decision making with the football, pocket presence, rushing ability, second reaction ability, he calls it, is the seventh category. CJ Stroud finished in the top 10 in two of these seven
categories.
Orlovsky's
a Stroud lover.
He loves Stroud. He does.
Yeah.
He finished in the top 10 in two, didn't finish in the top 10 in any of the five others. The two he finished in the top 10, mechanics, he was sixth, and pocket presence, he was fourth.
Hmm.
Of the other, this is my question to you, Seth. Of the other five, and I'll read them again, which are you most surprised CJ Stroud is not considered by Dan Orlovsky a top 10 quarterback? Arm strength, ball placement, decision making with the ball, pocket presence, second reaction ability.
I think ball placement's the one that I'm probably most surprised by. But
he's
I think,
BPS.
Yeah, ball placement specialist. But I think part of that might be, as everybody else in the national media is doing right now, they've kind of hit the pause button on evaluating CJ Stroud because it was such a murky situation last year that they're, and especially CJ, by and large, still had some really impressive throws in terms of ball placement, but he had more errant throws than you're expecting. And some wildly errant throws, and some of them came in the late in the season, yeah, in the more high profile games.
Yep.
So I think that might have affected him. I would still put him in the top 10 for ball placement.
I would too. Especially looking
if you look at who got 10th. Geno Smith got 10th in ball placement.
That's
over
weird, right?
CJ Stroud.
Isn't
yeah.
that weird? Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's that, and not that I've watched every snap of Geno Smith.
Yeah.
I've watched every snap of CJ Stroud. Just reputation alone, I thought he would be, at the back end of the top 10 at least.
I think pocket presence is an interesting one with Jaden Daniels because he actually did a really good job against the blitz and everything.
Yeah.
Maybe Orlovsky's giving Cliff Kingsbury's offense more credit for that than Jaden Daniels himself.
He's 10th in that, yeah.
Orlovsky's good at really getting people angry about his QB rankings and everything, and he did a master class in this.
He did.
Because you have seven different categories. Every single fan base is going to be upset about one of these things.
It's funny because I was about to ask you if you wanted to see C.J. Stroud move into the top 10 in one of the ones he's not top 10 in.
Yeah.
There's a couple of them that, like, if you're not in them now, you won't. Like arm strength. If you're not there now, I don't think his arm's going to get stronger.
Right, and it's also
ninth in arm strength.
And arm strength usually isn't that. Like, arm strength is cool, but more times than not, the guys with the really big arms also have wild issues elsewhere, like with accuracy or whatever. Josh Allen's an exception in that. Now,
yeah,
Josh Allen had to work
one.
At it, yeah.
Yeah.
But most people know that, okay, having a strong arm is probably about like 10th or 11th on the list of things that you care about when it comes to a quarterback. You got to have an arm that's strong enough.
To wit, the bottom, the 8, 9, and 10 in arm strength are Caleb Williams, Michael Penix Jr., and Jordan Love. I'd rather have C.J. Stroud than all three of those guys.
Yeah,
you know?
So. I think the one that I'd like him to see improve the most in, and this is more to do about the offense around him, is the pocket presence.
Mm-hmm.
Because the pocket presence last year, it's harder and harder. It becomes a vicious circle of not trusting your protection, and then how, like, over time and within the course of games, you could kind of see CJ's willingness to stand there degrade as he got hit about all of his internal organs, throughout the first three quarters.
Yep.
So it takes two to tango on that one. So I would say pocket presence, I'd like him to be very highly rated in that because they figure out everything else around him. I think he has it in him and he's capable of doing it. It's just that last year it's like trying to be a sharpshooter on a raft in the ocean. It's just too much instability there.
Yep. Nick Caley met with the media yesterday. Let's hear from Nick Caley in the next segment on the he called plays up in the booth for the first game. He's going to do it on the sidelines for this game. Where are we with the offensive line? And what are the expectations for one particular Houston Texan at a key position that just returned to practice this week? We'll have that for you coming up next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.